This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Just before the fall,
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The price of oil could be on the cusp of a significant drop. At least the signs are pointing in that direction. Oil is trading at $123 and change this morning. That's almost $12 from the peak of $135 a couple weeks ago. A major reason is that the dollar is rebounding. It appears the Fed is done cutting interest rates for now, and those rate cuts have been killing the dollar. Plus, demand is starting to wane in the U.S. and elsewhere. Last month, the best-selling vehicle in America was not the Ford F-Series pickup for the first time in 17 years. The Honda Civic and Accord and Toyota's Camry and Corolla all did better. Today, a Senate committee will look at car roofs, specifically what happens to them in rollover crashes. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
Right now, the federal standard requires car roofs to support 1.5 times the weight of a vehicle. The new standard could double that, but it's not near enough for some. Jackie Gillen is with the group Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety.
We already know that there are vehicles out on the road that have much stronger roofs than they're proposing. So why are they going ahead with a rule that is not going to do anything to really significantly address a major safety problem?
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is the agency that sets the standard, and Gillen and others say it's doing the bidding of the auto industry. Charles Torito at the Alliance for Automobile Manufacturers says his group supports strengthening car roofs, but he cautions against overregulation.
Roof deformation and injury in rollover crashes are related to the crash's severity, but that doesn't mean roof deformation causes injury.
Federal regulators say more than 10,000 Americans are killed each year in rollover crashes. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The dollar's newfound strength is definitely affecting the stock markets. In Japan, stocks shot up today. Japanese exporters like the idea of a weaker yen. But in Europe, the markets are down a couple percent. Europe has a lot of mining and oil companies, which have benefited from the weak dollar. The Dow fell 100 points yesterday to 12,402. The NASDAQ dropped 11, and the S&P 500 fell 8. Last night, the hardworking people of Madison Avenue got together for an awards ceremony. They were honoring the best TV commercials of the year. You hear all the time that TV ads are becoming obsolete. But honestly, those reports seem to be at least somewhat exaggerated. Ashley Milne-Tight has more.
Maybe you saw this ad the night of the Super Bowl. A guy comes into an office for an interview. He has a loud coffee stain on his shirt.
So tell me about yourself.
Well, you know, I'm an organized person, somebody who does not need details.
The tagline is, silence the stain. That commercial won an award for humor. Matt Miller is president of the Association of Independent Commercial Producers. He says consumers aren't as jaded as some advertisers fear.
One of the things TiVo tells us is that if you show good ads, not only will people watch them, they'll go back and watch them again. People aren't against advertising, they're against bad advertising.
He says the 30-second spot is far from dead, and many have a second life on YouTube. And as people watch more video on devices like cell phones, Miller says advertisers should benefit, at least those who can craft a compelling ad. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
I'm sure you're going to see TV ads for this next year. A new drug from the company Allergan. What does it do? It makes your eyelashes grow darker, thicker, and longer. Allergan says it's going to sell the drug by prescription next summer if the FDA approves it. Allergan is the same company that gave us Botox.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. and by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
As much bad economic news as I have to give out every morning, we are not in a recession, at least not by one common definition. The economy grew at a rate of almost 1% last quarter. But commentator Will Wilkinson says, don't let that stop you from complaining.
Come on. Will we ever get a recession? Sure, gas and food prices are inspiring new expeditions into couch cushions across the nation. But without a full-on recession, without a declaration that the economy's officially hosed, it seems like we have to accept that it's not that bad. With a real recession, we could blame somebody. President Bush, the Federal Reserve, the Democratic Congress, greedy investment bankers, take your pick. And the upside of pain is complaining about it. A bona fide recession is a license to let slip the dogs of kvetch. But the economy keeps stumbling along, like a drunk who never quite falls down. If it's going to be so lousy anyway, you almost want to say, just fall, damn it. Economic growth is neither constant nor predictable. It speeds up and it slows down, sometimes so much the economy starts to shrink, the dreaded recession. According to the standard definition, a recession is two consecutive quarters of contraction. But somewhat mysteriously to economists, fluctuations in the business cycle have moderated over the last 25 years, as if the economy went on lithium in the early 80s. Recessions are less common, downturns less severe, and that pattern seems to be holding, which is to say, it really isn't that bad. Unemployment is up to 5%, which used to be considered really, really low. The inflation rate, including energy and food, is up to almost 4%. But in 1981, the last time gas was anywhere near this expensive in real terms, inflation was over 11%. Despite everything, the American economy appears annoyingly resilient. But I say we complain anyway, recession or no recession. We didn't used to whine about spotty cell phone coverage, but now we do, and that's progress. When things keep getting better, it takes less to warrant complaint. So what if the economy's still pretty good? This is America. That's not good enough.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org, and you can share your thoughts with us as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.